everybody. This is John Forrester with Out of Character, and today I wanted to talk about Star Wars The Force Awakens. I just saw the movie on New Year's Day with Jade, and I really liked it. And for some reason, like, I was really fascinated with characters in it, and I wanted to try making them as playable characters in the RPG form. Fair warning, this does contain spoilers for Episode 7, The Force Awakens, so if you haven't seen that yet, please don't listen to this, because it will spoil stuff that happens in the movie for you. So again, if you haven't seen the movie yet, then don't listen to this episode. Please enjoy another episode, or come back next week when we have more content for you. So I sat down and I decided that, you know, between work, I was going to make the four, what I consider the four main characters from the movie, namely Finn, Rey, BB-8, and Poe Dameron. It was actually really fun to do it. I haven't made too many characters with the Fantasy Flight system yet, so it was fun to mess around with it and kind of see how it works and what kind of characters you can make. These are just my ideas for how these characters make, by the way. I'm not saying this is a definitive right or wrong way to do it, but I am going to post the character sheets online, so if somebody wanted to, you know, have ready-made copies, they just wanted to run a quick game using them, they'll be available for you on the Out of Character blog if you're interested. I used two books to make these characters. I used Age of Rebellion and Edge of the Empire. I did not use the Force and Destiny book at all. I'll talk about that in a bit. So, I'm just going to go through the characters and kind of share what I did here. For Finn, since he's the former stormtrooper, I really like Finn, by the way. He's a cool character. He was a stormtrooper for the First Order. He was raised by the First Order to be a stormtrooper. That was the only life he ever knew, and he deserted at the beginning of the movie. He was basically faced with a choice. He could, you know, continue to work for the First Order and kill people that he knew to be innocent or thought to be innocent. And faced with that, he couldn't take it, and he wanted out. And he escaped and kind of stumbled into a far grander series of events that he did not foresee. I really like Finn. He's a fun character. I like characters who, they have these big choices. And, you know, Finn, he makes some choices in the movie that people might question or say that wasn't the bravest thing he could do. But I think he's a good guy at heart, and I think he just wanted to get out, find his own life, and get away from doing things he knew to be wrong. So go you, Finn. So for his background, I made him a stormtrooper of the First Order. Explains exactly what he is. That's his background. That's where he came from. That's the life he knew. He is obviously human. For his obligation, I decided to go a different route. For people who don't know, obligations are basically like things that... It's the debt that your character has accrued in the universe, basically. It's their, you know, do they have like family members that they have to support? Do they owe a debt to a Hutt? Do they, you know, have a bounty on their head? Anything like that. Those sort of things fall into the obligation. I decided that I wanted betrayal to be his primary obligation. And in this case, he is not the person who was betrayed. He actually betrayed the First Order. It's a really big thing to turn your back on the First Order. It comes up, even in the movie, multiple times that he's turned his back on them, he's betrayed them, and it's going to hurt him a lot in, like, future movies, I think, especially. So I'm like, that's just a big obligation for Finn, and I want that to be his primary thing. For his motivation, I thought of a lot of different things, because he does work with the Resistance, and I think he definitely has, like, a romantic interest in Rey. He owes, you know, Han Solo and Poe for helping him out early on in his life. I decided to go with just freedom. I think he, after spending so many years kind of being subservient to the First Order and having to do what they say, how they say it, I think he's just looking to find his own place in the world and kind of do his own, to really find out how he fits and what he can do. As far as, like, his career, I chose soldier for his career. He's a stormtrooper, that's what he's done, and he's very focused on it. So I did pick soldier, and I decided that I wanted his skills from soldier to be athletics, you know, stormtrooper. I would imagine, you know, he's definitely capable of, like, running, climbing, jumping, that sort of stuff. Brawling, he's, you know, had some hand-to-hand combat training. And melee, I wanted him to be, he's had weapon training with, like, knives and staves and that sort of thing. Ranged, I gave him heavy for, like, blaster rifles and stuff, so heavy ranged weapons. And then I gave him, for his specialty, for his for his specialty, I decided I wanted to give him a sharpshooter. In some of the material that's come out since the movie and after, and before the movie, you find out that Finn is very, very accurate with a blaster. He receives very high marks for, like, being very deadly in combat as far as, like, fires, like, X number of shots, and most of them are kill shots. And he does take out a lot of dudes when he actually has a blaster in his hand. So I gave him another, for those skills, I gave him another skill in ranged heavy weapons because I wanted to be really good when he has the blaster rifle and stuff. And I also gave him ranged light weapons just because I wanted to be able to use pistols and things. Then I got a little bit out there with him. Because he is a human, he gets extra skills. He gets two extra skills that aren't in any of his specialties or his careers. So I gave him gunnery because he's always using, like, the big the starship weapons on the ship, like on the Millennium Falcon and on the TIE Fighter that he and Poe hijack. So I wanted him to be able to do that with some proficiency because he is fairly accurate at it. And, you know, he's still learning, but he's decent at it. And perception, just, you know, he can, so he can spot what's going on around him. And, you know, he notices that Rey is getting in a fight and, you know, just he's aware of what's going on around him. He's not somebody who's just completely zoned out in combat. I did give him another specialty. I gave him from the Ace area, I gave him Gunner. Because, again, I want him to, you know, he just seems to be like that kind of character. He's not a pilot, he's not a mechanic, but he is pretty good at using starship weapons and vehicle weapons. I don't know if that's something we'll see in future movies that he'll focus more on. It's the direction I chose to take with the character. For his characteristics, I gave him a brawn of 3 because he is a physical guy. He's, you know, he's not somebody who's going to hang necessarily be hanging back and doing nothing. He is pretty tough and durable. He has an agility of 2. Intellect of 2. He's not a stupid guy by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, he's been educated by the First Order, but he's not, you know, a scientist or anyone of, he doesn't, like, focus on that area. He's more of a soldier than anything else. I gave him a cunning of 2, willpower of 2, and presence of 2. So most of his stats I basically left alone. I did give him brawn of 3 just to make him a little tougher and a little better in melee combat and things like that. For his skills, he ends up with an athletics of 2, brawl of 2, gunnery of 1, melee of 2, because we see him use the lightsaber a couple of times, and while he's not amazing with it, he does go toe-to-toe with Kylo Ren for a few swings and manages to wound him, so hey, go you. Perception of 2, ranged heavy weapons of 2, and ranged light weapons of 1. So he's able to throw around a few good, you know, shots with various weapons. He can get into close-range combat with a lightsaber if he has it, or, you know, if he has to go hand-to-hand, he can do that too. For his talents, I gave him durable because I wanted him to be a little bit tougher, and I gave him toughened, again, just to make him hardier. He's got a pretty high wound threshold. He can take a lot of abuse before he gets taken out. And I gave him physical training just to reflect his stormtrooper training so that he's more capable in terms of just being an active character, running around, climbing, jumping, doing that sorts of things. He ended up with, like, a wound of 15. I gave him a strain of 12 because I didn't want to enhance that because he's not a character who really, like, keeps his cool. He does kind of, like, lose things, and sometimes that makes him make choices that he later goes back on. But I did want him to have that. Oh, I gave him, to reflect the fact that he has, you know, he has his stormtrooper armor, the armor that was beneath, the clothing that was beneath his stormtrooper armor, and the jacket that Poe gave him, I just gave him heavy clothing to give him a little bit of armor. It's not like stormtrooper armor like he used to have, but it's something. That gives him a little bit more. He ended up with a soak value of 4. I spent most of his experience to increase his abilities and his skills and give him more specialties. I also gave him a heavy blaster rifle. That's way more than he could afford with starting credits. Yes, I cheated. The reason I'm giving it to him is because Han Solo gives him a blaster rifle. He's helping out the resistance. I'm going to say that he can have a blaster rifle. It's not a huge, you know, ridiculous number of credits to give someone a blaster rifle. If I was GMing this game and someone was like, I really like a blaster rifle, I don't want to give him a pistol, that's not what he's focused on, I'd give you the blaster rifle. So that's Finn, and he'll be online. Just because I like him, I'm going to do Poe next. So, Poe Dameron. Poe is a very, very different character. Finn is, you know, more of the all-around soldier. He's a shooter. Whereas Finn is this, you know, we're told he's the best pilot in the Resistance, which is really cool. I like ace characters. So from Age of Rebellion, I chose to pursue just strictly the ace. I didn't want to go anywhere else. I wanted him to be a really good pilot and to be able to do a little bit of everything. So for his background, he's the son of rebels. His parents were both members of the were both in the Rebel Alliance. And I just basically, for his background, I say he's the son of rebels and he's a born pilot. He is a human, obviously. And for his duty, I wanted space superiority to be his duty. He is a character who, you know, he's Black Leader. He's in charge. He leads a squadron. You know, yes, he has other duties within the, you know, he is a very capable member of the Resistance. But I think that he would focus on, like, space battles is, like, how he thinks they're going to win the war against the First Order and everything. His motivation is just the Resistance. He believes in what they're doing. He believes in, you know, standing up for what's right, and that's what he's fighting for. It's just he believes in the ideals of the Resistance. He believes in General Leia and supporting her and what she does. For his career, I picked Ace because that's what I think he is. For the skills within that, I gave him cool. He's someone who can remain very calm under pressure. He's not somebody who's going to kind of go off the handle. He comes face to face with Kylo Ren and he snaps jokes. He stands up to interrogation. He's not someone who's going to break very easily. I gave him piloting planetary and piloting space. Again, he's an ace. And gunnery, just because I want him, you know, he's an X-Wing character fighter and he can use spaceship weapons with pretty good accuracy. So, you know, I wanted him to reflect that as well. I gave him the specialty of pilot. Obviously, he is not somebody who's using vehicles or, you know, a gunner. He's, you know, he's Black Leader. He is flying the ships more than anything else. So, again, I gave him piloting planetary and piloting space because I wanted him to be able to fly a ship regardless. For human, I gave him the ability to use ranged light weapons. We don't see him use rifles too much in the movie, and we don't really see him fighting outside of starships very much. But I want him to be able to have to do something, but if he gets out of the ship, you know, he can use a pistol if he needs to. And I gave him Brawl, just again, so if he gets in a situation where he has to fight, and he doesn't have a weapon on hand, he has the ability to do something. For his characteristics, I left his brawn alone. He has a brawn of 2. He's not the most physical character in the world. Finn is a bit tougher than him in my mind. I gave him an agility of 2, an intellect of 2, cunning of 2. I bumped his willpower up to a 3 because I just, you know, if you're going to stand up to interrogation like that, then if Kylo Ren can get into your head and you can stand up to being tortured for hours, I imagine you're a character with a lot of willpower. And I gave him a presence of 3 because he is a charismatic guy and he's, you know, he's commanding other members of his squadron already and he's a relatively young character, so I wanted him to, you know, have to reflect that in his characteristics. For his skills, he ended up with a cool ranking of 1, a gunnery ranking of 1, a pilot planetary ranking of 2, a pilot space ranking of 2, brawl of 1, ranged light of 1, and, oh, I bought him astrogation so he can plot in hyperspace and that sort of thing. And that's just something he needed to be able to do. Yes, I know astromech droids can help you out with that, but I don't see a character who spends most of his time in space not having that skill. For his talents, I gave him full throttle, which he can make a pilot a very difficult piloting check. He can increase the vehicle's top speed by 1 for a couple of rounds equal to his cunning, so he can make his ships move more quickly with a very difficult check, but he's a really good pilot, so hopefully that'll balance out. I gave him skilled jockey, where he can remove difficulty die from piloting checks, so he can just make checks more easily. I gave him defensive driving. I'll get to that one in a second. And I gave him grit, because I wanted him to, again, be able to stand up to a bit more strain. So I did give him a fair number of talents to play around with. He ended up with a wound of 13, a strain of 14, so he can stand up to a lot of, you know, he's flying around. It's a very stressful situation. He's having huge space battles. He's seen his friends get shot down. The end of the Resistance and the overall victory of the First Order within like the next 2 minutes, and he has to be able to keep his cool. He can do that. And he ends up with a soak value of 3. As far as his equipment goes, I gave him, again, heavy clothing and a blaster pistol just so he'd be able to fire a shot. I thought I would give him like a crash kit and stuff, but I'm trying not to give them a wealth of things. Giving someone a little bit of extra stuff is one thing. Giving them, like, you know, everything in the kitchen sink is too much for me. I also did one for BB-8. BB-8 is the little astromech droid that you see rolling around. He's actually a pose droid, so it's funny because they get split up at the beginning of the movie, and then they get reunited later on. For him, he was hard. I had a hard time with BB-8 just because we don't really find out as much about him and his story as we do some of the other characters. But, you know, I did my best. So for him, I gave him the background of he's the companion of Poe Dameron. This is not his first mission with Poe. He's been on other missions with him, and as far as I'm concerned, he's probably been with Poe either his whole life, not Poe's whole life, but he's either, you know, either Poe bought him or he was assigned this droid after joining the Resistance or while he was flying with the Republic fleet. I'm not sure how long they've been going on missions together, but that's what I saw for his background. For species, he's a droid. He's an astromech droid like R2-D2. For his duty, I wanted to give him support. He's not someone who is focused on winning the war in and of himself. He doesn't see, you know, he's not, doesn't seem like a character who believes that he's going to win the war single-handedly or he's going to any one area is more important. He just wants to support, and he's kind of in the backdrop. He's not, you know, someone who's going to be remembered as a hero of the war so much as he is going to be someone who helps others to win it. And for his motivation, I gave him just Poe Dameron. He is devoted to his master. He wants to help him and make sure he's safe and do what he can to help him in his mission. Droids are interesting because they get extra skills, which we'll talk about in a minute. They get, you know, more skills than from their careers and from their specializations than other races do. They're also inorganic, so they can't use the Force. They're not vulnerable to, you know, hunger, thirst. So for him, I just wanted him to be a technician. He's a little astromech droid. You know, he keeps the ship running. He keeps things going smoothly as best as he can. So for him, I said technician. He has astrogation to help, you know, Poe fly the ship. Gave him computers, mechanics so he can make repairs, perception. He notices that Finn is wearing Poe's jacket after he was nearly abducted. So, you know, he's got an eye on what's going on around him. Even piloting planetary, and he has knowledge of the Outer Rim. Again, that I'm assuming that they've been running missions for a while, so he's probably heard some stuff about, and probably knows a little bit about the Outer Rim. I gave him the specialization of mechanic. Again, he's not a pilot. He is an astromech droid tasked with keeping things running. So I gave him mechanics, piloting in space, and brawl. I don't imagine he's going to brawl very much, but, you know, if something happens, I'd like him. I always like characters who have some proficiency in combat. And he does, you know, he's a big ball. I just imagine him, like, rolling under someone's feet and knocking them down, if nothing else. He ended up with characteristics. Droids start with a 1 in everything, unlike humans start with a 2. So he ended up with a brawl of 1. I gave him an agility of 3, just because he is very, you know, he rolls very, very quickly. So I just imagine him, like, bobbing and weaving a lot. Intellect of 2, cunning of 2, willpower of 2, and a presence of 2. I didn't, you know, I bumped all his stats up a little bit except for Brawl because I just don't see him being that kind of a droid. Skills, his astrogation ended up as a 2. He ends up with a Brawl of 1, computers of 2, mechanics of 2, perception of 1, knowledge of the Outer Rim 1, piloting space 1, and piloting planetary 1. For his talents, I gave him mostly stuff to just make him a little hardier. I gave him toughened and grit. I gave him solid repairs so that when he does fix something, it's going to hold together better than... I gave him Gearhead. He actually has 2 ranks in Gearhead. Because I wanted... If you're going to be like a little droid and you're going to be fixing things, I wanted him to be really good at that. So I gave him Gearhead, 2 ranks in Gearhead, which allows him to makes mechanics checks more easily and reduce the cost to add modifications to enhancements. So, you know, he can fix things and make things better for less, which makes sense because, you know, he's working for the Resistance. They have resources, but their resources aren't limitless. Fine-tuning, so that allows, when reducing the amount of system strain a starship or vehicle suffers, reduce additional strain per rank of fine-tuning. So he can, you know, the ship takes less strain when it's doing things. He ended up, for equipment, I didn't give him a ton of equipment. I gave him a few basic tools that we see him use. I gave him the fusion cutter, and I gave him a hollow messenger. Straightforward enough. You could definitely add some stuff. He had like 75 credits left, but if you wanted to put in some extra tools and stuff, you could totally do that. I gave him a, he ended up with a wound of 14, a strain of 13, and a soak value of 1. So he is not the hardiest little dude rolling around, but he's not too bad. I like BB-8. I thought he was a cool little droid, and I wanted to reflect that, you know, what I see him doing. I see him as basically being Poe's buddy who goes on missions and keeps the ship running and has his eye on the mission while Poe is being Poe, and, you know, he's kind of more of an adventurous type. I think BB-8's more responsible than some of the droids we've seen. It's kind of like a mixture of C-3PO and R2-D2. The last character was one that I had a hard time with because she has a lot of things that she's good at. There's a lot of directions you could go with, and that is Rey. I really liked doing the character sheet for Rey, but it was hard because Rey, we see, you know, she's, even within the book, there's a lot of things that she's very, very good at that she can do, but this is what I did. So for her background, I decided I didn't want to do the Age of Rebellion book for her, so I stuck to doing Edge of the Empire. For her background, I decided that I was going to focus on, she was left on the planet Jakku. She doesn't know her family. She's been there for, you know, since she was a small child. Seemingly, it seems like she had a guardian or someone who was watching out for her, but she's been alone for many, many years, living in that big AT-AT and scrounging for parts so that she can have food and, you know, struggling to survive. She seems to have found her way in it, though. For her obligation, I wanted to give her two obligations. One is family. I don't think that the interpretation of family in this case is so much that she is, like, responsible for her family, but I feel like there's a connection to family there that's really going to be a thing that's going to draw her down, you know? What happened to her family? Are they missing? Why did they leave her? She's going to find out eventually what happened, I think, and that's going to be a big deal. I also want a duty bound, because as we see in the movie, she is force sensitive, and she's one of the only force sensitive individuals who is aware of that ability at the moment, and she has this kind of, everyone's kind of saying you need to find your purpose in the universe, and it's not on the planet Jakku waiting for a family that's not coming back. You need to step up and go forward, and, you know, Luke Skywalker can help you do that by training to be a Jedi. So, you know, she feels duty bound to seek out Luke and get him to take his place back in the universe and find if she has what it takes to be a Jedi. Her motivation was really hard. I think there's a lot of motivations that work for her. You could go with the idea that she feels she owes Han Solo because he helped her. You know, they kind of saved each other in a lot of ways. And I think that's my favorite one in some ways is right now, she is, you know, she feels like she has to help Han and help Finn and find her family and help herself. In general, right now, I'm going to say just her motivation is kind of discovery. She wants to find out as much as she can. She's lived not a sheltered life, but a very isolated life, and she wants to learn more about the galaxy and what the design is for her and where she's going to fit. She is, of course, human. For her career, I picked Explorer. It was a hard choice. There's a lot of careers you could pick for her. You could definitely, if you wanted to get the Force and Destiny book, you could get that. You could make her an ace. You could make her a technician. There's a lot of careers that really work well for her. I decided to go with Explorer because when I looked at the Explorer, it just worked. She's not really a smuggler. She's not a hired gun. She's not a bounty hunter. The Explorer just worked because, like, she's kind of trying to find out as much as she can about the universe, and I liked the idea of the making her, as her specialization, a Fringer, because she's been raised on the Outer Rims, and those are the planets she's focusing on right now. So I made her an Explorer. For her skills, I gave her piloting, space, perception, survival, because she's been raised on a desert planet. She knows how to find water. She knows how to find food. She can take care of herself. And cool, because she's not someone who loses it. TIE fighters are flying overhead, shooting things, and she's picking out which ship to jump aboard and, you know, fly off in. Fringer, I gave her coordination and streetwise. Streetwise to me makes sense. She knows kind of a little bit about some of the criminal elements and, you know, how to figure out which gangs are doing what where and who's a good crime, which crime lords are involved in with who. For her human abilities, I gave her piloting, planetary, and melee, just because we see her with that staff, that stave thing. She just knocks dudes down left, right, and sideways, so she's pretty good at that. Her characteristics I left completely alone. I didn't increase any of them because there were other things that I was going to use for those for the points. I only had 110 experience points to work with, and I didn't want to mess with them. So she ended up with a brawn with twos and everything. Two brawn, two agility, two intellect, two cunning, two willpower, two presence. I would think her stat, those things are going to increase as soon as you get some more experience, but that's what I did to make room for other things. I gave her the, also as another specialty, I gave her the Force-Sensitive Exile, which is also located in the Edge of the Empire book, so that we, to reflect the fact that she is a Force-Sensitive individual. I didn't want to give her Jedi classes or anything like that, because she's not a Jedi yet. She hasn't even been trained as a Jedi, so I just wanted to make her a Force-Sensitive. And the Exile thing worked for me because she's been abandoned on this planet on the Outer Rim for all of her life. You know, she wasn't driven there to go into hiding, but she's been exiled from the universe, from the from events that have been going on for many, many years. And that allowed me to give her, like, a Force rating and give her some Force powers as well. Skills she ended up with were Cool of 1, Coordination of 1, Melee of 2 to reflect her butt-kicking, Perception of 1, I gave her Planetary Piloting of 1, Planet... piloting in space of 1. Yes, I know she's a really good pilot. I understand. There's a limit. You know, I had to go with what I couldn't do with the points. Streetwise of 1. I give her survival ranking of 2. Astrogation of 1. Mechanics of 1. And computers of 1. She has a lot of abilities. Like, you could have... I could have made her a mechanic, or I could have made her other things. I wanted to give her a lot... reflect all the abilities she had, but maybe not to the degree that she had them in the movie. For her talents, I gave her street smarts and toughened. Again, just to make her tougher. And she's savvy. She's, you know, she may not know what a particular creature on some alien planet is, but she knows who's who and what's what as far as the crime cartels go. I gave her all the Force powers because we do see her use all of them in the movie. There's no add-ons. I didn't increase their effectiveness. She just has the base versions. So she has sense, move, and control. So, you know, we see her use Force powers to, you know, move the lightsaber, does the Jedi mind trick, she sense, you know, she has a Force vision. We get that she can do a little bit of everything at this point, but she's not really an expert at any one thing. She doesn't particularly show any, I gave her influence, not control, I'm sorry. So she has sense, move, and influence. Jedi mind trick, you know, the telekinetic grab thing, just the ability to sense things. But they're all very wild and untapped abilities for the most part. She's just for her gear, I gave her heavy clothing. I gave her a light blaster pistol, just to reflect Han gave her that blaster pistol. You will notice that I didn't give her any skills with it. Yes, I know we see her shooting a lot of guys and taking people out with that little, with the light blaster pistol. Again, I think that's more, I would classify that as her learning, but I wanted to do something else with the points. I gave her a staff, which is a custom weapon I made, just so that she, because there's nothing that really, that irritates me, by the way. There's no staff in the book. There's every melee weapon you can imagine. You have, like, force pikes and lightsabers and everything else, but there's not, like, a staff, a long piece of wood or metal that you use to kick butt with. So I gave her that. I also gave her Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. We see her use it. She uses it pretty effectively. She ended up with a wound threshold of 14, so she can take a lot of damage like BB-8 and Finn. We gave her a strain threshold of 12. Her strain threshold to me, I wanted to keep her kind of on the same level as Finn. The reason I say that is she is not someone who loses her cool when things don't go her way, but she is a character who is emotional in some ways. Like, when, you know, she has the Force vision for the first time, when she isn't someone who breaks when the pressure's on, but she is someone who can be affected by things. You know, she's not emotionless. And she ended up with a soak value of 3. So, nobody on here has any crazy armor. They're not just going to be eating, you know, huge amounts of damage left, right, and sideways. But those are the characters that I made. I think Rey is the one that people are probably going to have the most issue with, because there's just so many ways to make that character. You could easily make her a mechanic and focus on her, you know, or make her an ace or any of those things. I think that she's the kind of character who as she gets more experience points, she's just going to go in a lot of different directions. You know, I'm going to make her an ace, and I'm going to make her a mechanic, and I want to have her be able to do this, that, and the other thing. There's a lot of things she's really good at. I just chose this direction because it was what made sense to me. All of those character sheets are going to be available on the Out of Character blog on WordPress. So if you want to use any of them in your campaign, you can totally do that. Or if you just want to see what I did and have them to mess around with, you're more than welcome to do that as well. In order to make everything today, I only used the Age of Rebellion book and the Edge of the Empire, in case you're wondering what books I used. I just used those two books. Didn't have the Force and Destiny book, and I didn't need it. I'm not making any Jedi. I think the Force and Destiny book, in a lot of ways, is the most specialized book because it's just Force users, as far as I'm aware. As far as like just running a campaign in The Force Awakens, I think there's a lot of potential for it because it sets up a really cool sequence of events. You know, you have the Republic is in disarray because the seat of power has just been destroyed. We don't know what condition their fleet's in. Has their fleet been wiped out? Is their fleet scattered? The Resistance is kind of stepping up to face the First Order. The First Order's been dealt a major blow. This is a time of big, big events, and a lot of things are happening. The Jedi are, as far as we're aware, there's one Jedi. Luke was training a whole new generation of Jedi. They've all been killed by Kylo Ren. You have the Knights of Ren, who are this group of Force-sensitive individuals who have been trained by Snoke, who is the leader of the First Order. There's a ton of interesting things going on, and it's really fun. If you wanted to do something with the Resistance, grab the Age of Rebellion book. It just swap the word Resistance for Rebellion and vice versa. You can totally do that. You can have a group of X-Wing fighters or Y-Wing fighters or whatever who are fighting TIE fighters on the border, out on the border of the Unknown Region between the Outer Rim. They're pushing them back and spying on them and trying to find out what they're doing. If you want to do something with the Edge of the Empire with, characters who are smugglers and they're coming to grips with the fact that the First Order is blowing up planets and causing devastation, you can definitely do that. Maybe you have characters who are going to aid in these destroyed worlds. They're looking for survivors, who survived the destruction of those planets, and they're looking to see if anyone survived. Can we help? How can we help reform the... with all these leaders dead, someone's going to have to step up. You could run with the idea of maybe your characters are Force-sensitive, and they were working with the Alliance, or not the Alliance, they were working with the Resistance, and they want to go and find Luke Skywalker and get rid of him. I wouldn't go that route, just because if you're going to do something like that, a lot of times when you run Star Wars games, people are like, I want to make a Jedi, and it's like, Jedi are cool, but I think one of the problems with the Star Wars movies is Jedi come into things so often, and it's like, you have to remember, there were a lot of Jedi in the movies, but there weren't a lot of Jedi in the galaxy. At any given point, most people would never interact with a Jedi, never see one. They are a little more than, they're almost like an urban legend or a myth to most people, until you actually see one swinging a lightsaber and doing the mind trick. So, if people are like, I want to make a Jedi, it's like, in this setting, I like the fact that there's only one Jedi that we know of right now, and there are other Force-sensitives. You can have a lot of fun making a character who's Force-sensitive. Like, make a Force-sensitive smuggler who's, basically they use their Force abilities to sense ships that are coming to look for them, or, have them, they learn to do the mind trick, basically just to, like, these are not the containers you're looking for. These containers don't contain stolen parts, they contain blue milk. You can do that. It's fun. I like those kind of characters. We are going to be doing a Star Wars role-playing game for Out of Character. We're going to record our first session later this month. And it's going to be really fun. It's going to be set at the same time as the end of the Force Awakens movie. So it will be current with the universe, and we're going to go and have our own adventures and hopefully have a lot of fun. I think we'll all enjoy it. I hope you guys will tune in and check that out. Thank you to Menlo Park, California. You are the biggest listeners of the week this week. So thank you guys. We appreciate that. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you're thinking about running something in the current universe, there's a series of books. It's Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens. That's how you know. Because basically all the old Expanded Universe canon stuff is now no longer canon. It's basically fictional now. It's all fictional, but it's no longer what actually happened. Anything that's marked with Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens is part of the current universe, and it can help you if you're looking for, like, source material. I bought Aftermath, which I'm really enjoying. It leads up to what's going on with the Empire and the Imperial Remnants immediately after the war, after the destruction of Endor, and not the destruction of the death, the second Death Star, the death of Vader, and the death of Emperor Palpatine. Useful book. I haven't finished it yet. It's really interesting, and they bring in some cool characters. But they've done a ton of them. They've done, like, a Han and Chewie book. That's kind of what they're doing. They did a Princess Leia book. I think there's, like, 7 of these things now, for various ages, various different adventures that you can get into. If you're thinking about doing a Star Wars game, I definitely recommend trying out one of the books. Think about what kind of game you guys want to run. Like, if you are a group of players and you all love, like, Wedge Antilles, and you love, like, X-Wing Squadrons and that sort of thing, you can totally buy Age of Rebellion. It'll give you everything you need to do that, and you can make a lot of interesting characters using that book. If you wanted to go with something a little less militaristic, do the Edge of the Empire with it. You know, that's where you're going to find, like, your Chewbaccas and your Han Solos and those sort of characters that are out on the fringe of space, and they want to do their own thing. They don't really go in, you know, for that whole organized military structure. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys. It is appreciated, as always. I hope you have a nice day, and until then, we are out of character, and goodbye!